the youth pastor here at Arbor Heights, and we are continuing on our series, just kind of going through who we are as a church. And today is about being spirit empowered. We're talking about the Holy Spirit today. So before that, I'm just going to pray real quick, have us kind of come into his presence right now. Jesus, I am just so grateful for you. Lord, I pray today that as we dive into the topic of the Holy Spirit, of what it means to be a spirit-empowered people, a spirit-empowered church, Lord, I pray for your spirit to be with us right now. Lord, may we be able to feel it, even if it's for the first time. God, I give all of this to you, and I pray just for your words to come out. Anything that is of me, may it fall to the side. And Lord, whether we're excited or scared, maybe a little bit both, the topic of the Holy Spirit and to be spirit empowered. Lord, I pray that we would just have an openness in our hearts to hear from you, to hear about you, because this Holy Spirit that we talk about this morning, it is you. So I thank you, Lord. It's in your precious name that I pray. Amen. Okay, so to start off with, I want you to look to your neighbor, and I want you to share with each other, what's your favorite Disney movie? Quick, go. Oh, yeah, Pixar counts. All right, who's not shy? Who wants to share? What's your favorite Disney movie? Someone yell it out. Encanto. Ratatouille. Lion King. Treasure Planet is a good one. Beauty and the Beast. Oh, that was a favorite as a kid. The music. Mwah. Deb said Lion King. That was my favorite as a kid. It was my favorite to the point where to this day my dad can recite every line from that movie. I killed two VHS tapes of it and two DVDs because I watched it too often. And so I was a major Disney kid growing up. I loved Disney. Our Christmas tree was always Disney. We did not have a traditional star or angel at the top of our tree. We had Dumbo as our tree topper. And I loved Disney. I loved watching the movies all the time. And as an adult, it's been much to my dismay, I feel like Disney's kind of been going through a bit of a drought. That might be a hot take with producing good movies. Been a little sad. And so my roommate and I, my best friend, Lydia, her favorite movie is Treasure Planet, which is also a great one. Go watch it if you haven't seen it. We were talking about what was the last like great Disney movie? And this might be a hot take, and I might upset some people, and I'm really sorry if I do, but it is my opinion. And we were talking about what was the last great Disney movie? And honestly, I feel like the last like great one, like a really good story, great music, just excellent filmmaking, was probably Frozen 2. And I know that might be a hot take for some people. Some people might hate Frozen. I thought Frozen 2 was an excellent movie, and we had a great time going to see it in theaters, Lydia and I, in 2019. And one of the things that stood out to me about that movie was an illustration that I've been waiting for ever since I saw it to use. So I was real excited when God said you get to use it today. is Elsa. If you don't know who she is, she's a queen. And she, in the first movie, has ice powers, all that stuff, learns to, you know, accept herself and control her powers, live safely with her family, be queen once more. And in the movie, early on, she starts hearing a voice. It's like this melodious voice that's singing to her. And she's like, what the heck is that? Go away, leave me alone. Eventually, it leads to a beautiful musical number by the extremely talented Idina Menzel, who voices her. And she sings the song about, like, addressing this voice that's been singing to her, and she's been trying to ignore it because she feels like it's calling her to something more. She doesn't know where it wants to take her, but she knows it wants to take her somewhere. And the lines in it, there, so many of the lines are excellent, but the first lines that she sings are, "I can hear you, but I won't. Some look for troubles while others, some look for trouble while others don't. There's a thousand reasons I should go about my day and ignore your whispers, which I wish would go away." And when she sings this great, awesome song about this voice, I remember leaving the movie theater and being like, how accurate is that to the Holy Spirit in our lives? We'll hear a whisper, but maybe we're too busy. We're like, I don't got time for that right now. Maybe we hear a whisper and we don't know who it is. We're like, I don't know what that prompting is. Like, why is this happening? Maybe we haven't really been taught what the Holy Spirit is or who he is. And we don't know what's speaking to us. Maybe we don't recognize it. Maybe we have an understanding of the Holy Spirit and we feel a prompting to go and do something more and be something more, and it terrifies us. And we find ourselves pushing away. I just thought it was such a great illustration of the Holy Spirit. And she talks about being scared of following it, and the name of the song is Into the Unknown. And if you ever have been someone who has followed Jesus into the unknown, into something far greater than you ever thought you would do, it can be very scary and feel like you're following him into the unknown, into, I don't know what you're doing, God. I don't know where I'm going, where you're taking me. I don't know where you're going with this. So today, we are going to be talking about being Holy Spirit empowered. Here at Arbor Heights, we want to be a Holy Spirit empowered church, a Holy Spirit empowered people. But first, what does that even mean? What the heck does it mean to be Holy Spirit empowered? So we're going to look at Galatians 5, 13 to 26. I'm going to skip around, so if you're like, where, she's jumping around a bit, there's a couple verses that I'm just pulling out. So Galatians 5, we're going to start at 16. Start at 16 and go to 25. I'll read it. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. We're going to skip up to 19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. A Spirit-empowered life is led by the Holy Spirit. And some of you be like, okay, well, who is this Holy Spirit? Who is this dude? Who is this guy you keep talking about? In John 15, verse 26, it says, when the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. That was Jesus. So the Holy Spirit comes after Jesus has gone back to heaven, and it is God's presence here on earth. It is the third part of the Trinity. There are three parts of the Trinity. God is three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Times I feel like the Holy Spirit kind of becomes the neglected part of the Trinity that we sometimes forget, and that's why today we are talking about him. So the The Holy Spirit is to be the one guiding our lives. It's God. It's God, but it is Spirit here on this earth guiding us. And we are to be open to his guidance. So it's God's presence here. And here at Arbor Heights, we desire to be a church that is following the Holy Spirit. We desire to be a people who are similar to what is described in Galatians 5, a people who are living transformed lives, a people who have taken our sinful nature and nailed it to the cross of Christ and have allowed the Holy Spirit to come in and begin his transformational work, which doesn't happen overnight, but over time, as you're more open to Jesus, as you're more open to Christ, as you let the Holy Spirit come in more and more into your life, you will begin to experience a radical shift within you. You'll begin to desire things that you once did not desire. You will no longer desire things that you once thought you could never live without. The Holy Spirit will begin to change you, and from that produces also an outward change in your actions. It's not about following a list of rules. It is about being genuinely transformed within, so then the actions we take afterwards are from a genuine desire to do it, because God has transformed us. So what ends up happening is our actions begin to back up the change that has occurred within us through the following of the Holy Spirit. We are a people who look to the Holy Spirit to guide our decisions. Ask yourself, do you invite God into your decisions? Is that something you really even think about? I say that as someone who has definitely made lots of decisions without even thinking of praying and stopping and saying, God, where are you in that? So what does this look like? What does it look like beyond just the list in Galatians? What does it practically look like to be Holy Spirit empowered? Be people who are following and listening and being intentional about hearing the Spirit. So we're going to look at Acts 8. Sorry, we're very scripture heavy today. But we're going to be looking at Acts 8, 26 to 40. And this is about Philip. And he is such a great example of someone who was in tune with the Spirit. In Acts 8, 26 to 40, it says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means queen of the Ethiopians." So basically he's in charge of the Ethiopian queen's treasury. "This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to that chariot and stay near it.'" This is God. This is this Holy Spirit telling Philip, "Go to that chariot." "Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. And he said, 'Do you understand what you're reading?' Philip asked. 'How can I?' he said, 'unless someone explains it to me.' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him." This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Is the prophet talking about himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him about the good news of Jesus. After this passage, what ends up happening is the eunuch then comes to believe who Jesus is. They are going down the road, and the eunuch sees a pool of water and says, "Well, who's stopping me from getting baptized right now?" And he gets baptized, he gives his life to Christ, and he goes back to Ethiopia to go spread the gospel. Philip was listening for God's voice. He could recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit when the Spirit spoke. And so when the Spirit spoke, Philip followed. He walked on that road so he could meet the Ethiopian eunuch at just the right time. God said, "Walk on this road." He said, "Okay, we'll walk on this road." He said, "Go to that chariot." He said, "Okay, we're going to that chariot." And God just laid it out for him, said, "Here, I'm giving you a perfect opportunity to go preach the gospel. You just need to follow me." You need to I'm not going to give you all the details. I just need you to trust me through this. And so he ends up going up to the chariot, and it's all the way down to the perfect place in Scripture to explain the good news of who Jesus is. And we may read passages like this, and hopefully we can feel somewhat inspired, maybe a little intimidated, but hopefully inspired of, I want to be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit and his promptings, where I'm supposed to go and what I'm supposed to do, that I can then step out in faith. And if God said, you know, prompts me, hey, go talk to your neighbor, or go speak to this person, or go do this thing, go be in this place, I'm listening and I'm paying attention and I'm praying intentionally, God, where are you at work? So I can follow you in that. But it's great to want to be able to do those things, but then it can be hard to be like, okay, well, where do I even start? So how do we do this? How do we live a Spirit-empowered life? And so that leads to the 3 points I have for today. The first one is read his word. The second is we listen in the silence so we can hear him in the noise. The last one is to be bold. So first, we read his word. Psalm 119, 11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So here at Arbor Heights, we believe that the Bible, Scripture, is God's word. It is divinely inspired by God. It is what God had to say to us directly. It is also a primary way that God shares who he is with us. And then through knowing Scripture, so if we're hiding in our hearts, if we read Scripture, if we read the Bible, if we end up taking that time to actually absorb it, we can then have a better idea of who God is. We can understand God's character, which is so vitally important when it comes to listening to the Holy Spirit. Because you need to be able to tell the difference between yourself and God. And if you don't know God's character, you're not going to know who you're listening to. You have to know God's character, which is why it's so important that we read Scripture. It's also important because it's also a great way that God, in which God and the Holy Spirit uses it as a tool to speak to us. And so through knowing Scripture, we understand God's character, and it is only through being in the Word that we can hide his Word in our heart. And if we're listening, if we're paying attention, God will also bring Scripture to us at just the right moments in our lives, similar to the eunuch. So I'm not going to go through my entire testimony, but for those who have heard my testimony, there was actually a moment where a passage of Scripture was a big part of my story of being able to realize what God wanted for me, what he was trying to ask of me. And so it started in college, but I was basically trying to come to a very serious decision. I'm not going to get into all the details, but basically my uncle did not do some great things, and I, as an adult, was reflecting on what had been done to me and was trying to figure out how do I move forward. So I didn't know what to do. I had an opportunity to definitely get revenge on him, but I wasn't sure what the right thing to do was. And I was conflicted, and I was fighting with myself, and I was like, God, what do you want me to do? I'm coming to terms with this has happened to me, and I want to heal, and I want to move forward in my life, and not have this weigh me down. So at that time, I was serving at a church for youth ministry, and by this point, I'd been in college for a couple years, and the youth pastor, Krista, she would have me teach regularly. And so she would come up with a teaching schedule and then assign out teaching. And the youth group was really struggling with some conflicts within it. People not getting along had led to a lot of meetings, both with teens and with parents, to try and resolve it. And so we were going to have kind of a different type of service at youth group, just talking about conflict and forgiveness and things like that. And Krista was praying on who should teach it, because we were kind of breaking away from the schedule for this. And she came up to me and she was like, Linnea, I really feel like God is pressing in my heart that you should teach this. Would you be willing to teach it? I didn't think anything of it. I was like, oh yeah, of course I'll teach. So she gave me the passage. She was like, I would really want it to be preached on 1 Samuel 24, so if you could preach on that passage, that would be awesome. And I was like, okay, cool. And so Krista doesn't know the personal things I'm going through, the personal conflicts and turmoil that I'm going through. And she just has been praying, asking for God's guidance, and God is pressing her on, Linnea should teach this. So I sit down to get ready for lesson prep and just kind of trying to figure out where God's going with it. And I read 1 Samuel 24, and I go, oh my goodness, I think this was a bit more for me than I thought it was going to be. And it was exactly what I needed to hear. It had the exact solution and mindset that I needed to have in order to work through the conflict that was happening in my family, in order to lay down the hurt, to give forgiveness in a way that was going to help me, and be able to then have a mindset of, you know what, it's not my job to get justice, it's not my job to enact justice, it's God's job. I need to put it in his hands. I need to just trust him. And I'll do what I'm called to do, and I'll let him take care of the rest, and I'm just going to focus on healing. And it felt in that moment as I read it, even though, like, I did make a lesson, and it was a really good sermon that we had with the teens, and it definitely was also for them. But in that moment when I read 1 Samuel 24, it felt like God was directly speaking to me. It was hitting all the points of pain and confusion in my life. And so when we read scripture with sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, he can lead us to passages and to truths that we desperately need to hear. When we read it with the mindset of, God, I'm reading this, and if you have anything to share with me, please share it with me. I want to be sensitive to what you have to say and to what truth in life and how this may apply to me today. It becomes more than just, I'm getting my scripture reading off of my to-do list today. It is God speaking directly to us and speaking into our situations and into our lives. So we have to be in his word so we can know his character. And we have to read his word with a sensitivity to him wanting to speak to us through it. And then comes my second point, which is we listen in the silence so we can hear him in the noise. It's important that we know God's character because we need to know who God is so that if we feel like there is a prompting from God, that we can be like, can I test it up against scripture? Is this in alignment with God? Is this in the character of God? Because if it's not, then we know it's not of Christ. But if it is, maybe something to it. But we have to be able to listen in the silence before we can expect to hear him in the noise. So in 1 Kings 19, 9 through 15, this is about Elijah in the Old Testament. It says, and the word of the Lord came to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with a sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. And then 15 says, and then the Lord said to him. So Elijah had been on the run from a queen determined to kill him. This was Jezebel. Elijah had gotten himself into a lot of trouble, And he was convinced at this point, as he says, that he's the only one left who's following God. And so he's on the run. There's a queen out to kill him. He has upset her greatly, and he thinks he's the only Christ follower. He's the only follower of Yahweh left. So he was anxious, he was tired, he was hungry and scared for his life, to the point of initially, before the passage I read to you, he actually says, "Hey God, if you could just take me out, that'd be great. I'm overwhelmed, I'm over it, I'm done." He says that he has had enough. And instead, God puts him to sleep, gives him food, has him rest and eat again, and then has him travel intentionally to a mountain. And so Elijah is being forced to care for his weary body and then go to a place for solitude with God. And he doesn't respond, and the thing is God doesn't respond to Elijah right away. God said, go to a cave and wait for the presence of the Lord. Now, he goes to the cave, talks to him. He says, you know what, you need to sit and listen and wait. Sit, just listen to everything going on around you and wait on me. When was the last time you waited on the presence of God? When was the last time you waited on the presence of God? Reality is, we don't like silence. I'm sure some of you were squirming through that. We don't like silence in our world, not in conversations, not when we're alone. We are constantly filling our surroundings with noise all the time. If we're in the car, if we're cleaning, the gym, if I have to go to the gym without my headphones, I think I'm entering a special kind of hell. Like, I don't want to go in there without my headphones. Or even just a walk through your neighborhood. We don't like silence. And we fill up our world with constant noise. I think a lot of us can't even handle a conversation that has a small portion of silence without freaking out internally, thinking it's becoming awkward, and now questioning what this person thinks of you. If anyone has been on a date, they probably understand that deeply. Being fearful of the silence, and oh my gosh, what is gonna happen if I run out of things to say? Everything will fall apart. I have to fill the air with noise all the time. And if we're honest with ourselves, I think this is also our prayer lives. I think we do a lot of talking, and that's not bad. I'm not saying don't talk to God. Please talk to God. But I think we also, not all of us have been taught how to sit in silent prayer with God. Not silent prayer as in I'm talking in my head, but I'm just sitting with God. I'm not sitting and waiting on the presence of the Lord. I'm not sitting and listening for his voice. The thing is, we can't hear from the Spirit if we're not listening. We can't hear from the Spirit if we're filling every moment of our lives with noise, or if the moment maybe we don't have the music on, we don't have a podcast playing, we're not in a conversation, we just fill it with our own monologues in our own head. We don't silence ourselves and be still. If I'm honest with myself, when I'm at my busiest, my life is a constant rush from one thing to another, that's when my relationship with God probably suffers the most. And of course, that's probably difficult for a lot of us because we also live in a culture that praises constant do, do, do. We praise the grind and all those things. Keep going, whether it's work, even, I feel like at this point, even our hobbies, we can't enjoy our hobbies without it somehow producing something, whether it's money or something else, or praise or success. We live in a society that's do, do, do. Everything becomes a line on a checklist, and what ends up happening is relationships don't become a back and forth, and that I think is especially apparent with God. It isn't a relationship. It isn't a back and forth with God. time with God becomes I need to finish my scripture reading, or I need to finish my devotional for the day, I need to go through my list of prayer requests, slap it all together with an amen, and then get on to the next thing. And I say this as someone who's guilty of that. Please hear that. Someone who is 100% guilty of being so rushed and so busy that I don't sit and I don't say, hey, God, what do you have for me today? Even if it's just 5 minutes of pure silence in your presence, which sometimes is the most restful thing you can ever have. If you feel like there's no Holy Spirit power in your life, I'd really encourage you to start with asking yourself, do I take time to wait and listen for God? Because if we can't hear God's voice in the stillness, how are you going to hear him in the noise? For Philip, he was on a road walking. He was out doing something. When we are out in our day-to-day, whether it's at work, the grocery store, doing yard work, walking our dog, there's distraction, there's noise, there's things that maybe even be needing our attention. We need to pay attention to. If we can't listen to God in pure silence and solitude, how do we expect to know what his voice sounds like when we're busy? We haven't taken time to learn what his voice is, to learn that silent whisper and recognize it. We haven't spent enough time with him. I work at a dog daycare, and at that job, there are a lot of different dogs that come through that building. On our busiest days, we have upwards to 60 dogs in the building all at once. It's a lot of dogs. But I've been working there for probably 5.5 years now, and there are dogs who I can hear them in a room over, and I know that that's their bark. And I know it's them. Like, hey, we're gonna stop barking now. No, thank you. Enough. But that's through years of being with them, of getting to know that dog, of spending hours upon hours and years upon years being with that dog and learning the sound of their voice. How often do we take the time to learn the sound of Christ's voice so that when we're in chaos, we can hear it? I can be in a loud, noisy dog daycare play floor, and I can hear a bark, and I can know exactly which dog that belongs to, because I know that dog. If you are in a loud room, or maybe your head's very loud, I know mine is, if you haven't taken the time to learn the voice of God, which is often a very quiet and calming whisper, how do you expect to hear it in all the chaos of everyday life? We have to be willing to sit with God and listen and truly get to know him and his word and his voice. Because when we listen, the Holy Spirit comes to speak to us, to grow and transform us. And he also comes to us to empower us to be a light on this earth, to be able to share the gospel, to share the good news of Jesus with others. He comes for our transformation and then also to be used to make a difference in other people's lives. But that's on us if we are open to that, if we are open to what God has for us in that. So that leads to my last point, which is be bold. To be bold. I was reading through my devotional a couple weeks ago, and it started with a really wacky story. The woman who wrote the devotional was talking about a friend of hers who had the same dream like 30 nights in a row, the same exact dream. And the dream was she went into a gas station and did a handstand. I know, it sounds really weird. 30 nights in a row, walks into a gas station, does a handstand. And it gets to a point where she's starting to feel weary about this dream. She's like, God, are you calling me to go do a handstand in a gas station? That kind of sounds weird. And she gets to a point where she's kind of exasperated with having this reoccurring dream. It feels like God is just hounding her down. And so she's like, okay, whatever. I'm going to make a fool of myself right now, and I'm going to go do it. So she parks, goes into a gas station, and intentionally searches for an aisle that she thought no one could see her in and does a handstand. And then when she gets up, she turns around. The cashier is crying. Because I had prayed 20 minutes before you came in. God, if you're real, have someone come in and do a handstand. And that's such a silly thing. Guys, I don't know if I would have done that. God is prompting me. I feel like, God, I think you're crazy. But she was obedient, and she said, Lord, okay, fine. I have this intrusive dream for 30 days. I'm just gonna go do this stinking handstand. And then she gets to share the gospel. I'm not saying that God's gonna go ask you to go do a handstand in QFC or something, but when the Holy Spirit is empowering your life, He is going to call you out of your comfort zone. He is going to call you out of your comfort zone. He will call you to do things without all the answers as to why. He will simply, most likely, give a prompt, just as He did to Philip. Just walk on that road. That's all. I'm not giving you more. I'm not telling you exactly play by play what's going to happen. Just go walk on that road. You see that chariot? Go walk up to that chariot. Oh, he's reading scripture? Go talk to him about it. I had a friend my first year at NIAC, which is the college I went to. It's an alliance school at the time. And I had made a friend. Her name was Hannah. And her and I had only known each other for probably a couple weeks. This is my first year at NIAC. As a transfer student, this is her first year at NIAC as a freshman. And so she's all the way from Florida. She is not from New York. And we're at a worship night at the gazebo, which is a common space for everyone to meet. And I ended up becoming friends with Catherine later, but this woman, who neither one of us knew, comes up to us. You can tell she's a little nervous, but she asks, hey, can I talk to you to Hannah? And she's like, please stop me if this isn't, you know, if there's nothing to this, but I feel like the Lord wants me to share this with you. So if you're open to that, can I share this with you? And she starts telling Hannah's whole life story. Like, she knows Hannah's deep pains of having an absentee father who divorced her mom and disappeared and left and has not been present, and she holds so much anger and resentment and bitterness towards her father for leaving. And through that, she struggles with her relationship. She's like, I don't know if God's is a good father, because I don't know what a good father is. And Hannah's talking with her and telling her and sharing with her, God loves you, He is a good father. And it's just knowing intimate details of Hannah's life. And things like this will start to happen when we're open to the Holy Spirit's prompting. Now, this is just, it's not prescriptive, it's descriptive. So this is just an example of how the Holy Spirit has manifested in someone's life to share it. I'm not saying it'll happen to everyone, but this is just one of the many ways that the Holy Spirit works. He'll give you something to share with someone. He'll prompt you to share the gospel. He'll prompt you to go walk on a road. But it requires us to be willing to be bold. Say, God, I am willing to exit my comfort zone because I've taken the time to know your character, to know your voice. And, all right, God, it seems scary, but I'll go do it. God will invite you into the healing and transformation of other people if you're willing to join Him. If you're willing to hear His voice and allow Him to work through you. If you're willing to live a life sensitive to the Holy Spirit and his guidance. If you're willing to be transformed, if you're willing to be transformed and be a people that are living radically transformed lives. So, where are you today? Maybe everything I've shared with you is completely foreign and you're like, oh my gosh, that sounds crazy. Or maybe you can tell where you are in the lineup. I just want you to be honest with yourself as you leave today. Where am I at? Where are me and the Holy Spirit at? Do I know his word? Do I get in his word? Do I read his word intentionally? Let the mentality of God speak to me today? Do I sit in silence with God? Do I seek retreat away from the craziness of life so then I can hear from him? Do I do that? Do I know God's voice? If God was trying to prompt me, would I know it's him? Or maybe you have heard from God. Maybe he has prompted you in different ways. And he's worked in your life personally and transformed you and whatnot, but you're really scared to go exit your comfort zone, to go do maybe that crazy thing. Maybe you can even think of, oh gosh, God has been asking me to either go talk to that coworker or cross the street to go and talk to that neighbor. Maybe it's to do a handstand in Safeway, I don't know. But ask yourself, where are you at? Where are you at with the Holy Spirit? Do you need to get in his word? Do you need to be in silence so you can understand and know his voice? Or are you at the point where it's time to be bold? Maybe it's been a bit long overdue. Join me in prayer. Dear Jesus, I thank you for you, God. For your incredible Holy Spirit, Lord, I thank you for being a God who is not far away and distant up in heaven. Lord, you are a God who seeks us today to do miraculous things, to speak to us with your Holy Spirit, and Lord, to reveal your presence in a way that is beyond our understanding, is beyond coincidence, and Lord, shows us that you are here and you want to work today. May we be open to being a spirit-empowered people who are willing to seek your voice, to get to know you, to read scripture, not as just a to-do list, not to gain knowledge about God, but Lord, to know you deeply and personally and intimately, to allow your word to speak to us. May we seek retreat just as Jesus did, to go sit in silence with the Father, to sit and wait on his voice so that we can know his voice. So that, Lord, when you call us to do more, when we're on our day-to-day and we're in our busyness, that when you speak, we can hear you through all the noise and recognize your voice. And Lord, may we be able to trust you enough that when we step out in boldness as a spirit-empowered Christian, as a spirit-empowered individual, Lord, that you are going to be with us through that boldness, to share your word, to share your love, to be part of someone's healing process. Lord, I thank you. It's your name I pray.